reaction when you read the script?
For the sake of the tape, can you just slate yourself, please? I'm sorry.
Can I what?
Just slate yourself.
Slate?
Slate. Just say your name.
My name is Vincent Cassell.
Thank you, Vincent. Much appreciated.
You're welcome.
I should confess.
On the table.
Yes. So, what was my first reaction when I got the script?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Danny Boyle is calling me. First. Then, about the script itself, I thought it was, well, just what I think of the movie today, meaning smart, surprising, at last a female part that is really interesting, where the actress can be beautiful and smart. You know, stuff like that. Only positive, really.
Will you do anything like... I mean, was it Danny Boyle? Was it like, oh, Danny Boyle pretty much doing anything? Or was it, no, I really want to see the script. I really want to talk with the character first.
I mean, honestly, for me, the main thing is the director. I mean, I still believe that you can make a great movie without a good script, but with a good director. I think with a great script and not a good director, you will end up doing something uninteresting.
As soon as I finished watching this, I said to myself, I need to see this again. In fact, I'd like them to run it again immediately. How many times do you think people can watch this movie and continue to glean new things from it?
Well, it's full of little details here and there. And yes, I think a second viewing can be interesting because then you can really appreciate what the actors are doing, for example, meaning, you know, how they lie so well, which is not doesn't really apply to my character because... Actually, I'm one of the only characters in the movie who doesn't need to lie. You know, I'm pretty straightforward. But Rosario and James really have things that they have to hide or they don't remember, blah, 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 you know, all these things. So yeah, I think a second viewing is definitely worth it. I mean, for myself, once is enough because, you know, I'm in it, so it can be easily boring.
So you figured it out, hopefully, before you started filming.
But the funny thing is that we've shot that movie a while ago, so like a year and a half ago, because Danny Boyle had to stop to direct the Olympics, you know. So it's been a while, and when I saw the movie for the first time, I mean, finished like a month ago, actually, I got totally caught by the plot. I kind of forgot, you know, the details of the story. So the movie really got me, which is a good sign, I think.
Yeah. You've been in a number of films that are like mysteries or told out of order. And it's intriguing to me because I always wonder how an actor is able to withhold certain things and stay present in that moment to sell that moment, but at the same time not over-intellectualize it because you've read the script. How do you, what is your sort of process about... like engaging but not overthinking it?
Well, first of all, I don't think actors should think too much. Well, you know, I mean, actually, while you're doing it, when you act, it's not something that has to do with intellect. It has to do with your emotion and your capacity to let yourself go. And not judge yourself on the moment and not being, let's say, afraid of being ridiculous sometimes. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you just have to be in the moment. You know, this is what... And when you're in the hands of a good director, this is much easier because if you're working with somebody you're not so sure of, then you have to think, actually, because you never know where this is going to end and if it's going to be good at the end. So you have to take care of things that usually actors don't have to take care of. But if you work with somebody like Danny, for example, and some other directors that are real directors, I would say, you just have to be focused on the moment. The rest is going to be, you know, everybody does his own job, mm-hmm. and actors act.
What's Danny's Midas touch? What's his touch? What's his golden touch?
Well, first of all, I think he really loved actors because he comes from a theater world. Something I've noticed working with him, and actually even afterwards, he's a real gentleman. You know, he's gentle in the sense that he's like, for example, on a set, I really believe that directors are the boss on a set, and they have to decide and take the responsibility for everything. But he never exaggerates that position. You know, it's always, do you mind if we have another take? Would it be okay for you? And he always acts in such a gentle way that you are always ready to do it, of course.
Is that such an anomaly? I mean, is that such a strange thing?
Well, some people can be a little more rude, you know, if you let them the space to be.
And you want to elaborate?
No, I mean, some people think that, you know, I mean, some people in this business have the tendency to think that what they are doing is very important. And because of that, they can raise their voice, they can play some games with the people, you know, with human beings and stuff like that. And some people don't. I think some people that are well, that are polite and that are attentive to others, you know, don't act like that. And some people do. I have to say that I've been pretty lucky since the beginning, and I had very, very few bad experiences.
So if the intensity is not coming from Danny Boyle, where is your intensity on screen coming from?
My intensity?
Yeah, as an actor.
No, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that the intensity... I mean...
No, I said it's not coming from Boyle.
It does, actually, because you don't have to be rude to be intense, for example. And I think the intensity of his... I mean, he does have a very intense directing in the way he moves the camera, the effects, the angle he chooses and everything. So, I mean, intensity or drama. Dramacity? No, I don't think that it is. Anyway... nice try. But so it's a mix of all that, you know, of the acting that has to be, you know, solid, I guess, you know, and the way he's cutting the movie, I guess, you know, it's a teamwork.
How much direction, character direction, did you get from Danny?
Not much. But, you know, I think this is the character direction is a legend. The most important direction is the casting. If you cast the right person, then you don't have much to say on set. When people tend to talk too much, it's because something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it has to go with the flow. You know, it's having fun with the moment, less, more, another one. You know, but if you start to explain, and as you were saying, you start to think, and you start to... I've worked with Jacques Audiard. I'm sure you're familiar with Jacques Audiard, a prophet, Rust and Bones. Mm-hmm. And we did a movie a few years ago called Read My Lips. And the second day of shooting, he came to me and he was starting to talk. And I mean, he's a very smart person. But I was falling asleep. And I told him, I said, Jacques, you have to stop talking to me like this. I mean, please, instead of using like 20 words, use 3. You know, I'm sure you can do this. And so you give me the idea of what you want. But otherwise, I lose my energy. And from that day, he didn't talk to me anymore. I mean, much less, definitely.
Well, this movie asks, obviously, a lot of questions. It presents a lot of questions for the audience to think about. I'm curious, what's your take on the idea of the line between sex and violence? Because obviously, that's explored a lot here. What do you think about that?
Can you be a little more precise? I don't get it.
Well, because, I mean, the Rosario has the confrontation with James and, you know... She hits him, and then the next thing you know, they're in bed. And the whole
shit happens.
But I mean, the whole time she's kind of using it as a control over him, and the violence that he goes through is actually orchestrated by her, and it all seems very kind of interestingly intertwined.
So, and what is the question?
Just what is your thought on the idea?
I think it's totally normal. I think, well, not to get too. Whatever, it's. I think seduction, sex, violence somehow has things to do together, you know, and when something gets very peaceful, usually sex tends to disappear. Don't you think so?
How are things at home?
It's okay.
You know, the obviously was a heavy. I'm wondering, is that your choice, or is that the industry saying you're like a typecast and you're the guy, you're the bad guy?
Which industry?
I'm sorry?
Which industry?
The film industry.
No, but I mean, the film industry isn't the same here than in France, than in Brazil, than in Italy, than, you know. No, I think it comes from me.
Okay. Yeah. You like playing the bad? What?
Well, I like to play the bad. I like to play something that is... I think heroes are boring most of the time. And plus, I don't think they really represent anything that I see on a daily basis. I don't see much heroes. I see people that are struggling with their own life, you know, with their own defects. And most of the time, the people that are... let's say, baddies or like intense or whatever you can call them that have a part of negativity look more real to me than people that are, you know, bright and righteous and all these things.
So how'd you pull off the talking half head?
Special effects.
Did you know Rosario before this film?
Oh, yeah. I mean, not personally, but I knew exactly what she was. Actually, she was one of the actresses I was, you know, I remember a director years ago told me, but who would you like to work with as a beautiful girl? I said, well, Rosario Dawson and two others.
Okay, so the second question is going to be, the second part of the second question is going to be, who are they? But what was it about her and your wish list that you...
Well, I think she is. I think she's just beautiful. I think she's sexy. I think she has a, you know, she has this New York thing that I really like. She is, you know, I mean, I think she's just really cute in a genuine way, you know, not in a movie star way. Because some actresses, when you look at them in real life, they're very normal, you know, and which is not a bad thing actually. But you know, they're not that thing. You know, it's all constructed. You know. It's an image. Rosario is really, really cute.
And
that's it.
Were you a little nervous meeting her, and what was that?
No,
like?
No, no. I was very excited actually, mm-hmm. and it went really well. Actually, we had fun because she's fun too. You know, I mean, I know it sounds strange, but I need to work in a very, it has to be fun for me.
Yeah, she work. Makes it fun for us too when she comes into these rooms.
Oh yeah, so you know, she likes to talk. She's very much alive. She travels a lot. You know, she's been in France. She used to have a French boyfriend. She must be nice.
I was actually intrigued by your character's relationship with Rosario Dawson's character. Her relationship with Simon by the end is very sort of. It's very clear in many ways, but her relationship with your character is a little bit more mysterious. I was wondering if you could talk about what you think their relationship is sort of based on.
I think she is as bad as he is, and he really likes that. I think he falls in love. Actually, I think to define my character, it's the story of a gangster who falls in love. And gangsters shouldn't fall in love too much, because the minute you fall in love for real, you get very vulnerable, and it's not good for the business. You know, you get, it's dangerous, you know, so tough guys usually, you know, the love relationship, that's why gangsters usually, I mean, a lot of them go out with whores and prostitutes and people they can, you know, they would never have to be refuted.
And who are the other two actresses that you wanted to work with?
I'll tell you if I work with them.
Big difference between the scripts you get from Hollywood and the French film industry. Is there a wide?
Well, the thing is that it feels like we all making this big mess of what is Hollywood, and this is not a Hollywood movie. No. This is an English movie. I've worked with Cronenberg, which is Canadian, and it was an English production. I worked with Soderbergh, who was actually doing this movie, like the ocean things, you know, and he had total control over it. So I never really worked in a Hollywood movie. It was always like directors that managed to do what they wanted to do, really. So I don't feel like I've been part of the Hollywood thing. Hollywood film for me is like a big blockbuster with a... where, you know, the producer decides everything.
Do those offers never come your way, or do you just...
No, they do, but I mean, no, I don't get involved with them because I think life is short, you know, and I don't want to waste too much time doing things. For what reason, by the way?
During the shoot, did anything surprise you?
Yes, the kindness of Danny Boyle on set. It was sometimes it was even too much, you know. I even wonder at a certain point if it wasn't a trick. It was too nice.
How do you navigate living in Paris, London, Rome, and Rio? I realize it's don't just say airplanes. I mean,
no. I find a solution not so long ago, a few months ago. Now I just live in Rio.
And that's because of the weather, or.
It's because of I don't know. I've been going there for 25 years, you know, and I really liked it. And but it was dangerous for a long time. You know, Rio was kind of a rough city. And it's getting better. You know, the South Zone, as they call it, Zona Sul, has been pacified. I don't know if that makes sense. I mean, the gangsters are further out, let's say. And, you know, the economy is getting better. It's getting it's a nice place to live. It's a very nice quality of life. Yes, the weather, but the people, the culture, the food, the country. You know, when you love something, there's not always a reason. You do.
When you speak how many languages?
11. I'm kidding.
Perhaps you should be. Yeah.
How's your Portuguese?
I'm not sure. No, the Portuguese. I should speak four. I speak four.
Four languages.
Yeah, my Portuguese is getting better. Of course.
Based on the characters you choose, are you the toughest Parisian, the toughest Frenchman, or just the toughest man on earth?
I'm not tough at all.
Is that why you're drawn to these characters then?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, this question came across a lot.
Sure.
But and plus, even the way I portray them, I'm not trying to make them tough, mm-hmm. because most of the time when you're getting violent, it's the biggest. I should be more about that. I don't get the word in English. It's like saying I'm very weak. Mm-hmm. You know, when you have to be violent, it's because you're not confident enough, I think, most of the time. So I never try to be like the top guy, you know. Like every time I got a bad guy to play, or a tough guy, let's say, it's always because he's suffering somehow. I mean, look, this one. He gives the key of the car, I mean, as an image, you know, to Rosario, he knows exactly what he's doing. He says, okay, this is the end of me. But he goes for it.
Mm-hmm. So vulnerability and violence in your head go together?
I think so.
Yeah.
What made you decide to be an actor? Was it a goal or something you just tripped over?
Well, my father was an actor, so I grew up in that environment. And very soon it was like something... It was very easy for me to project myself in this. And plus, being an actor... In movies, it's very complicated because you have to be part of, you know, you have to be to do auditions, to be accepted by a system, blah, blah, blah. But otherwise, you can just do things like on stage, in the street. And that's how I started, actually. I was doing things in the street. And so, you know, we had ideas, and I was at the circus school at the time. And so we would just put things together, you know, clowning, and that was acting for me. And we would just do it. So it was like the easiest way for me to express myself, to put my dreams, and to realize my dreams, you know, and to make money.
You know, I've interviewed so many actors, thousands of them, and I don't remember anybody telling me they were a clown prior. So what's it like to be a clown, and why is it a natural? I don't mean that as a dig. I mean, is it a natural next step?
Well,
what's it like being a clown?
Well, I think it's a very noble thing to be a clown because you, it's like portraying things, you know, and you have to be, you have to observe a lot what you see around and to make fun of it, you know. It's a way to. So I think it's a good exercise. Clown doesn't have to be, you know, it's not a red nose. It's like clowning situations, you know. So it's acting, it's improvisation, it's acrobatics. It's very complete, actually. The clowns in circus are the most complete artists. They have to know how to do everything, like actors.
And it's improv, except it just sticks, right?
Yeah, I think. Well, acting is improvisation, anyways. You know, you're looking for you want accidents. If there's no accidents, it's not interesting. If the scene goes exactly how it's written and how you planned it, you have to do another take. You need something to go wrong, and from there, you know, something happens. You need something to happen.
Do you miss having that direct interaction with the audience when you film movies?
No, of course. But you do with... No, you don't. But it's another thing. Then you get, you know, you have this interaction with the camera, actually. And very strangely enough, if the camera, or the, I mean, the person behind the camera, if you don't feel that person, it doesn't work. It's really strange. I've been working with a guy with a steady camera that wasn't good one day. I couldn't act. I couldn't feel the... I didn't know... I couldn't understand what was going on. And every time I was going by the combo to see what was going on, I was like, what the fuck is doing? This guy is really, really bad. He doesn't pick it up. He doesn't understand. Oh, wake up, man. Don't you see what we... I'm coming here. You have to move. You have to come. You know, and I got mad with him because after 10 takes, he couldn't get it. And because he couldn't get it, I was really bad. You know, so it's just, it's always a question of somebody looking at you. Because to act by yourself, of course, is no interest. You know, and everybody can be a good actor in his own bathroom, as we say, you know. But then it's the power of somebody looking at you and you having to pretend to be normal. You know, when this thing is going on, it's like a magnet. But if one of the magnets is weak, then it just doesn't happen. That's why it's important to work with interesting directors.
The energy.
The eye. And that's why good directors don't have to talk to you, because it's just the way they look at you that's going to make the whole difference.
Vincent, you're a big international movie star. So how do you balance that, your career, with family life?
I don't work a lot. I shoot one or two movies a year, two to the max. Because otherwise, I just, to be totally honest, I get bored being on a set and promoting. I mean, you know, when you do it once in a while, it's great because you talk and you blah, blah, blah. But if you do that all the time, it's just, I think it's totally insane and not good for your health. So I choose, I say no, 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 and I only say yes when I can't say no. And working like that makes it much easier because I don't, you know, I make literally two movies a year, to the max.
So then, you know, if you have to be very particular about which films you choose, that if you're only going to do one or two. So what is sort of that X factor when you read something and you're like,
I don't know.
Yes, this is the one?
I have no idea. I always literally, I mean, I've noticed that there's a process in me. I always, in my mind, I always have a way to escape from the situation, meaning it's coming, even if it's really interesting, it's a director that I like, I'm like, yeah, but I mean, it's not going to work. It's like, it's already a no.
Yeah.
No, and then, you know, I eventually say yes, but it's really rare.
You go on instinct a lot.
Oh, but I think this is the most important thing for actors.
Mm-hmm.
Instinct. Actually, not just for actors, for everybody.
Your agent must have a ball presenting all those scripts.
Well, no, he only sends me, I mean, we've been working together for like a long time, and he knows what to send me. And usually when he sends something to me, which is really rare, at the end of the day, it's right. I mean, this one, for example, that was pretty interesting because he called me, and I was releasing a movie called The Monk in Paris, and he called and he said, okay, Vincent, there's this movie. I already say yes for you. I said, wow, this is daring. He said, no, but I know you're going to want to do it. It's Danny Boyle. I know you're going to like it. If you want to say no, it's my problem, and that's okay, but I think you're going to say yes. And he was right. I read it, and I said, well done.
When you read it, did you totally understand everything in the script, how it unfolded?
Well, some of the imagery, you know, you have to see it to really get what it's going to be like. But, yeah, I understood the math of the movie, you know. Understood the system, you know,
mm-hmm.
And then to get it totally, you know, and because of my English, I guess too, you know, I had to read it again and to talk with the actors, you know, and there was a few little things that we needed to readjust and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I understood what was going on and why it was interesting. Once you accept that hypnosis works, the movie works. Now, Does hypnosis really work? I have no idea. They tried it on me, it didn't work. 5% of the population, you know how they say in the movie.
Can you sign?
Yes, of course.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.